If you have your Bibles this morning, please turn with me to the book of Exodus, Exodus chapter 14, Exodus chapter 14, the choir, the congregation, the special, all have been wonderful. I thank God for the talent that God has given us in our church. I just thank God that it's being used in the church and not in the world. In Exodus chapter number 14 this morning, the Bible said, "And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, that they turn and encamp before," what a word, "Pahahoroth," best I could do, "between Migdal and the sea, over against Baal Zephon, before it shall ye encamp by the sea. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land, the wilderness hath shut them in. Now I will harden Pharaoh's heart, he shall follow after them, and I will be honored upon Pharaoh and upon all of his host, and the Egyptians, that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord." And they did so. And it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and of his servants was turned against the people. And they said, "Why have you done this? That we have let Israel go from serving us." And he made ready his chariot and took his people with him. And he took 600 chosen chariots and all the chariots of Egypt and the captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh, king of Egypt, and he pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But the Egyptians pursued after them, all the horses and chariots of Pharaoh and his horsemen and his army, and overtook them encamping by the sea, besides that name I read a while ago, before Baal Zephon. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. They were sore afraid. And the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. And they said unto Moses, "Because there were no graves in Egypt, hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Wherefore hast thou dealt thus with us to carry us forth out of Egypt? Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt, saying, Let us alone, that we may serve the Egyptians? For it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than that we should die in the wilderness." Moses said unto the people, "Fear ye not, stand still and see the salvation of the Lord, which he will show to you today. For the Egyptians whom you have seen today, ye shall see them again no more forever. The Lord shall fight for you, and ye shall hold your peace." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Wherefore criest thou unto me? Speak unto the children of Israel, that they go forward. But lift thou up thy rod, and stretch out thine hand over the sea, and divide it. And the children of Israel shall go on dry ground through the midst of the sea. And I, behold, I will harden the hearts of the Egyptians. They shall follow them. And I will get me honor upon Pharaoh and upon all his host, upon his chariots and upon his horsemen. And the Egyptians shall know that I am the Lord when I have gotten me honor upon Pharaoh, upon his chariots, and upon his horsemen." And the angel of God which went before the camp of Israel removed, and and went behind them. And the pillar of the cloud went from before their face and stood behind them. And it came between the camp of the Egyptians and the camp of Israel. And it was a cloud and darkness to them, but it gave light by night to these, so that one came not near the other all the night. And Moses stretched out his hand over the sea, and the Lord caused the sea to go back by a strong east wind all that night, and made the sea dry land, and the waters were divided. And the children of Israel went into the midst of the sea upon the dry ground, and the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. And the Egyptians pursued and went in after them to the midst of the sea, even all of Pharaoh's horses, his chariots, and his horsemen. And it came to pass that in the morning watch, the Lord looked on unto the hosts of the Egyptians through the pillar of fire and of the cloud, and troubled the host of the Egyptians, and took off their chariot wheels, and they drave them heavily. So that the Egyptians said, "Let us flee from the face of Israel, for the Lord fighteth for them against the Egyptians." And the Lord said unto Moses, "Stretch out thine hand over the sea, that the waters may come again upon the Egyptians, upon their chariots, and upon their horsemen." And Moses stretched forth his hand over the sea, and the sea returned to his strength when the morning appeared. And the Egyptians fled against it. And the Lord overthrew the Egyptians in the midst of the sea. And the waters returned and covered the chariots and the horsemen and all the host of Pharaoh that came into the sea after them. There remained not so much as one of them. But the children of Israel walked upon dry land in the midst of the sea. And the waters were a wall unto them on their right hand and on their left. Thus the Lord saved Israel that day out of the hand of the Egyptians. And Israel saw the Egyptians dead upon the seashore. And Israel saw that great work which the Lord did upon the Egyptians. And the people feared the Lord and believed the Lord and His servant Moses. If correctly read, that's chapter 14 of the book of Exodus. Let's pray. We'll get right into the message. Father, we thank you this morning for the great love wherewith you have loved us. God, we thank you for the great privilege that we have to stand behind this old Bible and preach the Word of God to your people. God, I pray this morning, God, for a special touch, not just an anointing, our Lord, upon the speaking or the preaching of the Word of God, but Lord, I pray there would be an anointing upon the hearing of the Word of God. Lord, you said over and over in the book of the Revelation, give us ears to hear what the Spirit of God would say to the churches. And I pray this morning, Lord, you'd give us ears to hear. Lord, help us this day, and God will give you glory. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Last Sunday morning, the Lord helped us to begin a series of messages entitled, "Help is on the Way." And I don't know about you, but I've been chewing all week, and I still ain't got it chewed. And the more I chew, the bigger it gets. Amen. Reminds me of the fellow that stopped to get him a little pecan pie. He got him a couple of them and a Pepsi because he didn't want to eat before he got home. He was a truck driver. He knew there was a good meal waiting at home, but he was still 3 or 4 hours out. And he ate the first pecan pie and it was real good. He ate the second one, but there was a problem. The more he chewed, the bigger it got. He couldn't get it chewed up. And he discovered that he didn't get the cardboard bottom off of it. Amen. He had him a big wad of cardboard in his mouth trying to chew it up with the pie. I tell you, sometimes the Word of God, the more you chew, the bigger it gets. Amen. Last Sunday morning, we preached on the subject, help is on the way when there's a problem with sin. Ain't you glad? Thank God, help is on the way when there's a problem with sin. Last Sunday night, we preached on help is on the way when there's a problem with the supply. Wasn't that a beautiful story, amen, about how that God supplied not only for Elijah, the man of God, but supplied for the widow woman, supplied for her son. God used unlikely ways to supply the need. I'm glad that's the God I serve, amen. He knows what we need even before we pray. This morning I want to do a message, share a message that God birthed in my heart almost a week ago. And that is this, help is on the way when there's a problem with the sea. The children of Israel are backed up against the sea. The children of Israel cannot see any way out. If you live for God very long, you'll be backed up against the sea too. I mean, it may be in your home. It may be with your children or grandchildren. It may be with a spouse. It may be with a brother or a sister. It may be something in the family. It may be something in the finances. It may be something in our health. But I'm telling you, there'll be a time in our life when we'll find us backed up against the sea and not knowing exactly what to do. And I want us to see in the text today, probably this morning and tonight, that help is on the way when there's a problem with the sea. I believe this morning that all of us that love the Lord, just like the songwriter said, sometimes they sang this morning, we look over there and we wonder why others prosper when they have nothing for God, nothing for God's house, nothing for God's Word. May I tell you this morning, their prosperity is temporal. Our prosperity is eternal. They might prosper in the things of this world, but hallelujah, you and I can prosper in the things of God, in the things that really matter. Amen. Help is on the way when there's a problem with the sea. I don't want to say a whole lot about the sea and the applications because I know the Holy Spirit has already spoke to your heart about your sea, about that situation in your life that's impossible. Amen. That situation that you say, preacher, what do you mean? You mean there's situations that are impossible, my friend, to see them worked out without God? Oh, yes. Let me ask you this. How many of you have a loved one or a friend that's unsaved? I just now named a sea. It's impossible to see that person saved outside of a miracle from God Almighty. And the God that parted the sea for Moses and the children of Israel, thank God, can speak to the heart of mankind. How many of you know somebody that has professed to know Christ, but they're in a far country? They're out there somewhere doing their own thing, walking their own way. And remember last week we read the verse about the prodigal and he came to himself. Hey, praise the Lord. That's a miracle when somebody's out there and they come to their self and they return to the Father. That's a miracle. Help is on the way when there's a problem with the sea. There's four things that I want to dwell on today that I see in the text that we need to realize if we're going to see that help is on the way in that situation that is impossible, that situation that man just can't handle it. I'm telling you, Moses, my friend, was a man of God, not a meeker man in all the earth. He wasn't a perfect man, but he knew the man who was perfect. Hallelujah. Amen. He knew the Lord. Let me give you four things, and maybe we'll see how many we get this morning, but we'll see how it goes today. First thing I want to say in the message, help is on the way when there's a problem with the sea, when we realize, number one, we need a Moses. Let me say this to you. There's a lot of people in the world that don't think they need a Moses.
Amen. You say, preacher, I don't understand what you just said. You will in a moment. I'll help you. Amen. I'll help you to understand. We need the children of Israel needed a Moses. And God gave the children of Israel a Moses. You know what we've got? We've got a generation coming up. We've got a generation already grown that don't think they need a Moses. They think they got it all figured out. They got all the answers. I don't even have all the questions, let alone all the answers. Amen. But thank God I know the one who does. Amen. The Lord Jesus Christ. We need a Moses. What was Moses to the children of Israel? He was someone to hear from the Lord. He was somebody that had an ear that was attentive towards heaven. He was somebody that was sensitive to God speaking to his life and speaking to his heart. Listen, your Moses might be a pastor. It might be a daddy. It might be a Sunday school teacher. It might be a grandpa. It might be a mama. It might be an aunt. It might be an uncle. But aren't you glad for the people in our lives that can hear from God and hear from heaven? Amen. When there's a situation like the Red Sea, there's a problem with the sea. We need a Moses. We need a Moses. I'm going to tell you something right now. Pastors need a Moses. You know, a lot of times people, they get the wrong idea. They get a false impression. They think, boy, God's blessing that preacher. And I can tell you why God's blessing the preacher. Because there's somebody off in the corner praying for the preacher. It ain't because the preacher's something, amen. It's because, thank God, the preacher knows he needs a Moses. He needs somebody that can hear from God. Not only somebody that can hear from the Lord. You see in that verse number 1, and the Lord spake unto Moses saying, you say, preacher, that is so simple. I tell you what, we'll never have revival till we get back to that. Till we get back to saying, God, speak to my heart. Speak to my heart. Speak to my heart, Lord. Sit in a congregation like this and just say, God, if you don't speak to anybody else, please speak to my heart. And beg God to speak to our heart. Moses was someone to hear from the Lord. Secondly, Moses was someone to speak for the Lord. You see, we have a lot of people that hear from the Lord, and it stops right there, and their life turns into a dead sea. They hear from God, but they never let anything go out for the Lord to someone else. And so they're like the little bird sitting in the nest with his mouth wide open, feed me, feed me, feed me. But they're never sharing what they've been fed with somebody else. You and I are never meant to be a dead sea. We're never meant to be a mud puddle. We're supposed to be a river of living water. It's supposed to flow in and out of us, in and out of us, and be a blessing to others along the way. We need a Moses. When we got a problem with the sea, someone to speak for the Lord. The Lord spake to Moses. Here's what he said. Verse 2. Speak unto the children of Israel that they turn and encamp before that place between Migdal and the sea over against Baal Zephon. Before it shall ye encamp by the sea. In other words, God spoke to Moses. Moses spoke to the children of Israel. And listen, I want to get this out right quick. They found themselves against the sea. They're back up against the sea, even though they were doing exactly what God told them to do. We've got some of them TV idiots. It'll tell you if you're doing what God tells you to do, you'll never find yourself backed up against the sea. That's a lie. I'll tell you, you'll find yourself in situations, amen, not disobedient to the Lord, but in obedience to the Lord, that are impossible without Him and without His help. We need a Moses. Help is on the way. When we have that problem with the sin, but we need to, with the sea, but we need to realize that we need a Moses. We need a Moses. We need a Moses. Let me give you this secondly, and this is probably as far as I'm going to get in the message today. And don't get real excited right there. I used to tell them down at Liberty Baptist, I'd say now in closing and stop and say, if you just got excited, you're a visitor. Let me give you the second thing. Amen. In the message today. Not only do we need a Moses when there's a problem with the sea, we need to realize we need a Moses, but we need our memory. Wait just a minute. How many of you all understand that when you're backed up against the sea, that's when you're more prone to forget how good God is than any other time in your life? You're more prone to forget your blessings. I need this, and we're concentrating on this. I need God, I need you to do this, and forget all about what He's done in the past. And forget all about the blessings of God. Let me give you a couple things right here. I think this is it's wonderful in the text. We need our memory. We need to remember that we have an enemy. Watch what the Bible said in verse number 3. For Pharaoh will say of the children of Israel, they are entangled in the land. The wilderness has shut them in. Let me say this to you. The enemy is not nice. The enemy has never been nice. The enemy doesn't know how to say nice things. The enemy does not know how to encourage. All the enemy knows how to do is discourage. And so Pharaoh thinks, we got them. They're tangled up in the wilderness. They're backed up against the sea. And we're fixing to bury them. We need to remember that we have an enemy. Little Sawyer, Charity's carrying him this morning. Little Sawyer Vincent, he's not even here yet as far as out into the world. Oh, he's very much alive. Somebody help me. But he has an enemy. Already, the enemy is plotting, Sister Jennifer, how that he can destroy that boy. Drag his soul into an awful place called hell. I don't know about you, but I sure am glad for verses like greater is he that's in us than he that's in the world. I sure am glad for verses like if God be for us, who can be against us? I sure am glad for verses like this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Not a doubt in my life that little Sawyer will be raised right, trained up in the nurture and in the admonition of the Lord. But we need to realize he has an enemy. We need to realize we have an enemy. Last week, and I'm not going to say a lot about this because if I get started on it, Brother Brian just went all the way around it this morning. I'm like him. If I get started on it, I'll probably go somewhere where I don't need to go. But last week, stand up. State your religion. I'm a Christian. Well, you'll meet God in just a second, bang. Who would have ever thought in the United States of America? Let me tell you something right now. Listen to me carefully. God's people have always been hated by the enemy. It's just coming to the surface. It's being exposed. People are getting brazen. How many knows what I'm talking about? Amen. And God only knows what we're going to face before we get home. But I want to say this morning. We need to remember that we have an enemy. The Word of God said here of Pharaoh, God said, I'm going to harden Pharaoh's heart. He said, preacher, I don't understand that. I'll tell you if you'll study, God, Pharaoh had already hardened his own heart. God said, I'm going to get me glory. I'm going to get honor, amen, over Pharaoh. And I'm going to harden his heart and the host that the Egyptians may know that I am the Lord. Brother Brian, you were talking about verses and talking about things coming out you hadn't seen before. You know, I've read that and read that and read that. It's again in the chapter, I believe it might be verse 18. I made a note that the Egyptians might know that I am the Lord. Listen to me carefully. God drowned Pharaoh. God drowned his horses. God, my friend, destroyed the chariots and their drivers and the mighty host. But that was not all of the Egyptians. There was still some Egyptians in Egypt, and God wanted them to know, I'm the Lord. I don't know about you, but I believe with all my heart, when our back is up against the sea, help is on the way, and one reason is God just wants everybody else to know that He's still God. And that He's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we can ask or even think. We need our memory. We need to remember that we have an enemy. The Bible said your adversary, the devil, walketh about as a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour. The enemy gets us backed up against the sea, and he thinks he's got us, Brother Gale. He's already grinning. What are they going to do now? But here's what the enemy forgot. He forgot somebody's praying. He forgot somebody's believing. He forgot that somebody is resting in the promises of God. I believe many times in the Bible, God's people have been backed up against the sea. And the enemy thought he had them. The enemy thought he had them, but help was on the way. Look in verse number 5, and it was told the king of Egypt that the people fled, and the heart of Pharaoh and his servants was turned against the people, and they said, why have we done this? In other words, they're regretting that they let them go, and they're going to go after them. They're going to pursue after them. By the way, if you think God's going to let us raise our children and the enemy's not going to pursue after them, you've lost your mind. The enemy's going to pursue after our children. The enemy's going to pursue after our marriages. Would somebody help me right there? Let me bring you a little closer home. The enemy's going to pursue after our church. Nothing more that the enemy would like for us just to have our back up against the sea. And God's telling us, listen, when that comes, help is on the way. Help is on the way. The Word of God said, why have we done this? And he made ready his chariot, took his people with him. He took 600 chosen chariots and the chariots of Egypt, captains over every one of them. And the Lord hardened the heart of Pharaoh. He pursued after the children of Israel. And the children of Israel went out with a high hand. But they forgot. The Supreme Court recently, I'm talking about the last several years, have made rulings that are against the Word of God. Amen. With a high hand. Amen. But just like Pharaoh, yes, they forgot there's a hand higher. Amen. Than their hand. There's a judgment higher than their judgment. Amen. There's a judge that they'll face one day after a while. Oh, beloved friend, we need our memory. We need to remember that we have an enemy. Let me give you this, and I'm going to close this morning. The second part of this, so when we need our memory, we need to remember we have an enemy. I want everybody to listen to me real good right here. If you don't get anything else I'm going to say this morning, I want you to get this part of the message. We need to remember who the enemy is. Brother Randy, you're a dear preacher, brother. And I love you, brother. It's not hard to love you. Appreciate you. But what the enemy would like to do is have you and I at odds with each other. And if he could get us at odds with each other, then he would like for me to think that you're my enemy. How many knows what I just said? Brother Randy's not my enemy. We could very well, I pray to God that never happens, we could very well end up at odds with each other over some another. An enemy would love that. Moms and dads end up at odds with one another. Children and parents end up at odds with one another. Brothers and sisters. I mean, look at the first story in the Bible, Cain and Abel. They ended up at odds with one another. But Cain was not Abel's enemy. How many knows what I'm saying right here? Brother Andy, if the enemy could get you and I at odds with each other, he'd stand over there in the corner while you're believing that I'm your enemy and I'm believing you're my enemy. He'd stand over and laugh his head off. You say, preacher, I don't understand what that's got to do. Let me tell you something right now. If Brother Randy begins to realize Brother Vinoy's not my enemy, and Brother Vinoy begins to realize Brother Randy's not my enemy, and we both begin to realize who the real enemy is, there'll be some reconciliation. There'll be some victory. Hallelujah. Help will be on the way. How many of y'all been church around church long enough to know what I just preached is the truth? A group of people will get it in their heart or get it in their mind that they're our enemy. And we don't realize who the enemy really is. I'll tell you, I believe with all my heart, we need to remember that we have an enemy. That's important. But we need to remember who the enemy is. He wants every one of us. He wants to destroy us. He wants to devour us. He said, preacher, I don't know where you got that in the text. Stay with me just a minute. Look at verse 10. And when Pharaoh drew nigh, the children of Israel lifted up their eyes, and behold, the Egyptians marched after them. They were sore afraid. So now the cloud that had separated them had been lifted, and they're able to see the enemy coming. And what do? Watch this. What do? And the word of God said, and the children of Israel cried out unto the Lord. But then this, watch this now. It'd have been all right if it had stopped there. But they said unto Moses. Let me tell you something right now. Moses was not their enemy. Moses was their ally. Moses was obeying the Lord, but they had something to say to Moses. They said, Moses, because there were no graves in Egypt, is that why you brought us out here? There wasn't room enough to bury us in Egypt? Is that why you brought us out here to die? I'm going to tell you something right now. When your back's up against the sea, you can mark this down. You'll begin to think all kinds of crazy things. You'll begin to look, and you'll begin to think, well, right there's the problem. When that's not the problem at all. Hast thou taken us away to die in the wilderness? Why have you dealt like this with us? And carry us forth out of Egypt. Is not this the word that we did tell thee in Egypt? Saying, leave us alone. They've already forgotten how that Pharaoh, it wasn't good enough for him to make the brick. Now they got to get their own straw. They've already forgotten the burden. They've already forgotten how they cried out to God for deliverance. And they're saying, Moses, we would have been better off in Egypt. Back yonder in bondage. You wonder how anybody in this world could ever meet Jesus and be free from their sin and want to go back and live in the bondage that He's delivered them from. But it happens. David, a man after God's own heart, looked down there and saw Bathsheba and said, you know what? I like what I see. Somebody go get her. And the Lord trying to warn him using his own man, I believe a type of the Holy Ghost, said, is this not Bathsheba? The wife of Uriah the Hittite. In other words, David, this is off limits. How many knows there's some things in this world that's off limits? Preacher didn't put them off limits. Daddy didn't put them off limits. Mama didn't put them off limits. The God of heaven put them off limits. There's some things that's off limits. And Moses, or David rather, he got crossed up. You say, preacher, I just don't believe David was in bondage. You need to read Psalm 51. Honey, he had lived for a little over a year. And that sin, I don't believe there's a better way to put it. It was like a cancer. It was eating him from the inside out. He thought he covered it up. He had Uriah killed. He wanted Uriah to sleep with his wife so nobody knew who the baby was. He thought he could cover it all up. He thought he could get by with it, but he forgot that last verse in chapter 11. But the thing which David did displeased the Lord. You said, preacher, I don't know what that's got to do with my friend God making a way. Amen. When our back is against the sea, help is on the way. It's got everything to do with it. We need to remember. We need to remember who the enemy is. And we need to remember that we have an enemy. Brother Arnold, I just looked over at you and Brother Johnny and Miss Charlotte's off taking a little trip, a little break this weekend. And Maddox, thank God for Brother Johnny's testimony. I believe with all my heart Maddox will be raised in the house of God. I believe that. But I tell you, the enemy wants him. The enemy wants every one of our teenagers. Over there, Brother Kyle, where you work in that children's home, the enemy wants every one of them. And someday or another, Brother Kyle, you'll have to correct somebody. You'll have to speak a word of rebuke. You'll have to speak a word of correction. And that young person will think Kyle is my enemy when Kyle is the best friend he ever had in this world. We need to remember who the enemy is. Watch this. The Word of God said here, it had been better for us to serve the Egyptians than we should die in the wilderness. I say this morning, when our back is against the sea, when we don't see any way out, somebody tell me what his back was against. Jesus' back. What was his back against? The cross. I don't know about you. Being backed up against the sea is not a good situation. But it's a whole lot better situation than having your back up to a cross. Being spit on. Having your beard plucked out, being mocked, being stripped, hung in open shame, bleeding from his brow, bleeding from his hands, bleeding from his feet, bleeding from his back. And honestly, the bleeding I think that's overlooked so many times is the bleeding that was coming from his heart, a broken heart. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. And you and I need to understand when there's a problem with the sea, help is on the way. Our Lord is a very present help in a time of need. I'll get into it tonight. As the Lord spoke to my heart in this chapter, Brother Brian, I couldn't help but think about the kids among the Israelites and the teenagers among the Israelites. And God says, and that water stands up over yonder. And that water stands up over here. And honey, that ground was dry or drier than the carpet I'm walking on. Brother Rick, I can't help but think that some of them kids said, wow. You know what I'd like to see in this generation? God move in such a way that our youngins, Brother Teddy, could say, did you see that? Can you believe this? He's the same yesterday and today and forever. How many of y'all know that our kids are listening when we're murmuring? Help me right there. If we murmur, we're not helping our youngins, we're hurting them. When there's a problem with the sea, help is on the way. When there's a problem with the supply, help is on the way. When there's a problem with sin, thank God for Calvary. Help is on the way. Let's pray. Father, thank you this morning for the privilege to share the Word of God with your people. Lord, I pray that you would move in this invitation. Lord, I don't know people's hearts, but God, you do. I don't even know the needs, but God, you do. And God, I pray this morning that you'd guard us here at Bible Way, that we would always remember that we have an enemy, but always remember who the enemy is. Lord, Pharaoh, he thought he was fighting against God's people, but he was fighting against God. And Lord, I'm not real smart, but I just know that fighting against God is a losing battle. Lord, you are omnipotent, all-powerful, omniscient, all-knowing. I'm not present. You're everywhere. God, right now, I pray you'd meet with us in this invitation. Lord Jesus, I pray, speak to hearts.